I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 48. Acts, chapter 10, verse 48.
Acts, chapter 10, verse 48 reads this way. It says, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people and to open up your word. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace to us. We ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Fill us with your spirit, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives drawn closer to you and to one another, and that we might truly be the witnesses you've called us to be. For your honor and glory, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the title of the message is, "Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Or we could also call this a heart of thanksgiving. A heart of thanksgiving. And we'll take a look here at what took place here in the life of these individuals that became new believers and what the Lord was doing in their lives. And by the way, what the Lord wants to do in our lives in this day and age. So this morning in our text, we'll consider three reasons to give thanks unto the Lord. The first one is going to be, God excludes no one. No one is excluded from the Lord. Everybody is invited. Number two, God wants us to be witnesses of his works. God wants us to see his working in our lives and also in the lives of others. Do you believe that this morning? God wants to move us to tell others about him so that others will get saved. Amen? And so God has said, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth, and God wants to use us for his honor and glory. Number three, the Holy Spirit is given to all believers. Isn't that a good thing? Every believer. That didn't always happen in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would move on different believers at different times. But now the Holy Spirit is given to each and every one of us that know Jesus as our Savior. So I'd like to call you back to verse 34. And we're going to look at this truth here that God excludes no one. And now this is a new concept, a new precept, really, or a new revelation in the heart and mind of Peter, because only really Jews were saved in the Old Testament. Now you have to remember, he's coming out of the Old Testament thinking, out of the Old Testament teaching and preaching, which was just temporary, and God was going to culminate it all in the grace of God and fulfill it all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's got this kind of old way of thinking, and so at this particular time, salvation was of the Jews. It's also of the Gentiles to the whole world. But at this particular time, this was something that God was working. Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about that here in the previous verses about how the Lord gave him a vision concerning Cornelius. And so now at this particular time, they're all united together and they're communing one with another. And Peter was giving his account of what the Lord was doing in his life. And now all of a sudden, the Lord was working with all of them. And notice what Peter says here in verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In other words, he doesn't favor just the Jews. He's given the salvation to all humanity, all humankind. And so here's Peter learning a new precept. Amen. And this was a new truth to him. And so as we trust the Lord and follow after him, God will reveal more of our infinite God to our hearts and minds that we might understand him in a greater and in a better way to enhance our relationship with God. Amen? That's ultimately. And by the way, if our relationship, if Christ be lifted up, all mankind will be drawn to him. Amen? And so God wants us to have Christ lifted up in our lives. And that is a work that he has to do. Please don't enter it into the idea of this is what I have to do. No, that's the work of God. You and I cannot manifest the works of the Spirit of God. Amen? We cannot manifest. We cannot conjure up kindness and peace and long-suffering and all the things that God, that comes from the Lord. And so if we look to him, Lord, I trust you to fulfill this in my life. I need you to give me your love and your peace because my love and my peace is very limited. Isn't it? I mean, my goodness, look at our peace. One, something can does God ever change?
No.
Okay, but we do. Amen. And God knows that and he's merciful. Listen, is God's peace always there?
Yes.
Then how can we lose it? We lose it, right? We do, but listen, let's just be honest, because that allows us to see, listen, it's our peace that's limited. It's our love that's limited, but God's love and God's peace is limitless. Amen? And so may we look to the Lord in that. And so now he reveals to us who are the accepted by the Lord, by God. And what we need to be careful about is that we don't, as we consider what God says, who are the accepted ones, that we don't say, okay, this is what I need to do. That's the natural tendency. Lord, though all forsake you, remember who said that? Same fellow that's talking now. Lord, though all forsake you, I won't forsake you. And what did he do? He forsook the Lord. And why? Why? Why did that happen? Lord, though all forsake you, who is he looking to? Himself. And we will never get anywhere when we look to ourselves. In fact, listen, mark this down. God will see to it that we fail if we're looking to ourselves, because God will not give his glory. He'll share it with his children, but nobody will be able to say, you know what, I did it, right? I did it before the Lord. So notice who the accepted ones are. Verse 35 says this, but in every nation, he that feareth him, that's a good thing, isn't it? And so here the Lord is saying, he's saying through Peter, he's saying, listen, I understand now that God is not a respecter of persons, but that's a conjunction, right? We're still continuing the same thought, but in every nation. So now Peter is seeing for the first time that every nation is included. And by the way, the Lord is telling us for the first time now, every nation is included in the salvation of God. So notice again, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So let's consider this here just for a moment. But every nation that feareth him, and that word feareth means phobeo. Okay, that's the Greek word phobeo. And here's what it means. To put to flight by terrifying. Now see, a lot of times people say, oh, well, fear, that's just a reverential respect. Oh, yes, that's what it is. But it's because of a terrifying concern of who Almighty God is. Do you remember when you first saw your sin? And you saw that you were lost and undone, and realizing, you know what, I deserve the wrath of God. And it frightens us when we realize our guilt for the very first time. Our eyeballs are opened up, our hearts and minds are opened up, and we say, my goodness, I am headed toward eternity in hell. I am lost and undone. And I don't know, listen, God works it a little bit different in everybody's life, but in my experience, all I could do was say, save me, Jesus. That was it. That was you want to know what my sinner's prayer was? I saw my guilt before the Lord, and I said, save me, Jesus. That was it. And God came in and assured me and let me know and gave me a born-again experience to realize that my sins were forgiven and covered by the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross to pay for all of our sins. And that he would guide me and hold me in his hands. Now, I want you to know, we still make mistakes after that, don't we? We're still, now we're in the, so that's salvation, that's one thing, but now there's a transforming work of God's sanctification work that he wants to do in the life of the believer. That means God is going to do work to set us aside for his honor and glory. We don't, listen, day one, the Bible says you're a newborn babe in Christ, right? Which one of us want to be operated by a baby? Which one of us want to trust? Let's put a baby in an airplane seat and let's see how well they do, right? And we'll be the, no, we wouldn't think of doing that. And so likewise, as a child of God, we need to realize, and we do learn these things. We have bumps and falls along the way, but God says, I'm not finished with you yet. Look to me, I'll be your strength. Look to me, I'll be your peace. See, God does not say the fruits of the Spirit. He says the fruit singular, because if we have Jesus Christ, we'll have everything. Amen. And that's what God wants us to have. And so Peter now is filled with the Holy Spirit. And now he's on top side understanding this, and he's sharing some important truths to these new believers, but also to the Jews that were there with them. By the way, they're all enjoying this new teaching also. They're all enjoying this new information, this new perception, or this new revelation that God has given. Listen, anytime God gives a better understanding of what we have in eternal life, it's a good day. Amen? And the child of God has an opportunity to rejoice and get excited about what God is doing. So that word phobeo means to put to flight by terrifying, and that's he that feareth him, to do something for fear of harm, to reverence and venerate, to treat with difference, or, listen, a complete obedience to the Lord. Reverential obedience now. So that's the part we understand. A lot of times you hear that being preached. What does fear mean? Him that feareth him. That is a reverential fear. And that is true. But that there's also an explanation to put into flight by terrifying. We ought to be afraid. Listen, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. Amen? And God is displeased with sin all the day long. Especially, listen, where will judgment begin in the heart and mind of God? And physically, where will it begin? Will it not begin with his house, with his own people? Absolutely. Listen, why is there a judgment? Are we not saved? Absolutely, we are saved if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's still a reckoning day as to how we walked and sought the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. Because listen, if we're not doing it right, we're going to have loss of rewards, not eternal life, but we will miss out on the things that God intended for us to have and to enjoy and to be able to give back to our Savior for what all that he's given unto us. And why is that so important to the Lord? Because if we're not living by his grace and mercy, the world won't see the love of God and they'll die and go to hell. God has privileged us, the saved, the redeemed, to be the witness to the whole world. See, that's not a light thing. That's not just to do things my way or how I feel or I'm saved and I don't have to worry about it. No, listen. Listen, the souls of mankind are at stake. And God loves our lost loved ones, but he also loves all lost individuals, right? He died for them. And so he says, be careful and be understanding with this complete obedience to the Lord that he's commanding reveals to the Lord and reveals to others. So look at verse 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So the Lord is saying there's something that has transpired here. It's not this carefree, unconcerned relationship with the Lord. Yeah, I'm saved and I'll pull that out on Sunday or I won't worry about it until I see the Lord face to face. That's a dangerous way to live, and that's not what God is saying. So verse 36 here, as we consider this, now we find here, this is the Lord working and preaching peace by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's wanting them to understand what God has given. Notice verse 37, that word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost. Listen, the Spirit of God is incredibly important. Jesus is our example. Now, listen, watch how this works. Jesus himself, who was the Son of God, but if you'll understand, he never stopped being God on earth, but he did relinquish his authority, and that's why he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. He was completely submissive to the authority of God. That is the first time that the Son, a part of the triune God, ever gave up his authority. And he relinquished it. And notice what happens here in verse 38. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we know he's God in the flesh. But he had God with him. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Listen how this works. Listen. Our relationship with the Lord and the works of God in our lives are an echo. You ever been in a cave and you ever said, hello? And what do you hear back? Hello. Well, listen, did that cave just decide to say hello all on its own after you said hello? Or was it a reverberation of what we have said? See, God wants us to be a reverb of what he is doing and what he is saying. And so, I don't know if you know much about this. I don't know a whole lot about this. But there are heat stoves that have fire bricks. I don't know what you call them. And then there are other wood stoves that use a soapstone. I think that's somewhere up in the Vermont area. And they say these things, when you heat them up, they hold their heat. But that soapstone did not generate that heat. That soapstone absorbed that heat and was able to give off that heat. Do you see how that works? Listen, God wants us to absorb his grace, his mercy, just like Jesus did. He said, I don't do anything of myself. I don't do anything of myself. Listen to that. Jesus did not do anything of himself. Would it not be a good thing for the child of God to be careful that we're not doing anything of ourselves? that we might walk upright and not think, hey, listen, this is not coming from the Lord. I better hold the horses here, right? I better not get the cart before the horse. I better follow the Lord and seek him that I might walk pleasing in his sight. Listen, it's going to be an awesome thing, but it could be a fearful thing to stand before the Lord and be in for the shock, in a negative way, a surprise to the child of God of what they missed. Listen, God, listen, and by the way, what a privilege. Let me ask you this. Do you think Peter is enjoying this information, or do you think Peter's saying, man, now the whole world is getting what we got? Do you think that was his attitude? Or do you think he was saying, praise the Lord, only God? Amen? Praise the Lord, only God would have thought to do things the way he... And by the way, do you think Peter was a little bit happy when the Lord rose again from the dead and the disciples gave the message to Peter, hey, the Lord's calling for you? Because he thought he was done. And what do you think that did to his heart and mind? Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace to me. That's what Peter said. How about us? Praise the Lord that he hasn't chucked us out a long time ago and he's still wanting to work with us if we'll follow him. And get excited about all the new... Listen, do we know everything there is to know about God? Listen, we don't even know half of everything there is to know in his creation. I don't even think we know 1%. Of what everything there is to know. We're learning some things. To what degree? Listen, there are things that are out there that scientists are sending out, telescopes out there to take a look at, that they're learning all the time. And the amazing thing is, if we'll look at it from God's perspective, we'll see it all dovetails together just the way the Lord made it. Amen? So, notice what happens here. Verse 38 again, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Was with who? Jesus. God, listen, God is with us also as a believer. So as we consider this, he is preaching the peace that comes from the Lord through the Son and the power of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we notice this fulfillment of God's promise to Israel. Now we also see how the Lord worked and empowered the Son of God. And now he's spreading the gospel to the whole world. Now the second thought here we'll consider is God wants us to be a witness of his works. Notice verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's easy to see that, right? And so Peter is saying, listen, we were a witness. We saw this. Now, the devil really, if he would have understood things maybe a little bit clearly, maybe he would have foregone the cross, because that would have done away with our payment for our sins. See, he didn't even realize what he was doing. He thought he was destroying the Son of God. No, he was fulfilling. See, listen, the world doesn't understand the way God works. And by the way, if we're not careful, the child of God doesn't understand the way the Lord works. At the scene of the cross, the disciples were not happy, were they? And it was a horrific sight. But wait a minute, this is a hard concept. In the midst of a horrific sight, it was a beautiful thing. Because it purchased our redemption. Amen. That will usher us into the presence of God for how long? Ever. Oh, let that soak in. Forever. Forever. To see the glory of God that will never end. Boy, listen, you and I as believers have the best that's yet to come. As a child of God. As a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh God, that I might be faithful to you and your will and your work that you want to do in me. Lord, let me be the clay that sits in the middle of the wheel of the potter's hand to do with as he pleases. Amen. Listen, Jesus said, remember what he said? If you're going to follow me, you have to do something. You have to deny somebody. Bingo. Do you know, listen, self is a green monster. Self, listen, we don't even see self really until God shows us self and we go, ooh. When God shows us ourself, we'll say, oh boy, Lord, I see me now as you see me. And I listen, that's scary to me. I don't want to walk that way. And so here he is telling Peter, or Peter telling everybody here, how God wants us to be a witness of his work. So notice again, verse 40 here, him God raised up the third day. Remember, they said that we saw it. We were witnesses in verse 39, and we were witnesses of all these things. And then notice, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Notice this, not to all the people, but unto witnesses. Listen to this, chosen before of God. You know what Peter says? Even to us. Listen, Peter knows he was not worthy. And that's why he was saying, God showed himself to even to us. Still today, do you know that God wants to show his witness even to us? What kind of witness is that? God wants to show us the fruit of his Spirit in us. Not this. You know what? That person just did me wrong. I'm supposed to be nice to them. You could do it, but it's not God. But God wants to show himself, his witness to us, and give us a genuine love and compassion and a care for them, because we see them as ones for whom Christ died. Because we want to love them, all of them, especially all of God's people, because when you've done it unto the least of these, when you've shown your love even to the least of these, who have you done it to? You've done it to Jesus. Jesus says, you've done it unto me. I don't know about you, but I want to love Jesus. Amen? I don't know about you, but I really want to do a lot of good things for Jesus. And you know, listen, that is doing all kinds of things, good things for God's people. And also to be the witness that God wants us to be. And so that gives us a heart of thanksgiving. Man, Lord, you can do that through me. Amen? I'm going to yield myself a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable service for God to have his will, his and his way with me. Because if I'm on the throne, I'll say, no, I'll take this, I won't take that. You know, one time, I'll never forget this. I was pastoring in Kentucky, and this fella came in halfway through the church. We had snow and ice. And listen, I didn't want anybody to come. I didn't live too far from the church. I lived maybe not even a quarter of a mile from the church. All right, I could have walked to church. But anyway, it was ice. There was ice on the road, and poor Mrs. Dalton, she must have been in her mid-80s. She got out of her car. I was already coming around the side there to help her. She was crawling into the church house. We normally ran about 130 or so, and that day we had maybe about 18, maybe. Maybe that'd be really saying something good, right? 18. And so halfway through the service, this fella comes in and sits in the back. I'm thinking, man, he was walking out and all that. And I saw him come in. He came, sat down, got quiet. And anyway, after the service, he said, I need some help. I'm applying for a job. I don't know where he was applying for a job. And he was an older man, maybe in his 60s at that time. And so I don't have anywhere to stay. And so we took him to a hotel, and I asked Brother Merrick to come, Norman Merrick, to come with me, because I didn't know him and I wanted to make sure I'm safe. And so anyway, I took this fella to Norman Merrick's, which was right on the way, picked him up. And good old Norman Merrick, you know what he did? He brought out all kinds of snacks and sodas and put them in a sack. And this fella was sitting in the back seat, and Brother Norman Merrick just said, listen, you might need this later on. I thought I'd just give you this. He looked homeless to me. And so anyway, we're driving him to the hotel, and then all of a sudden, between us, I see him say, I don't like this. He's giving him back sodas. I don't like this. Some kind of little crackers. I don't like this. And I'm thinking like, what an unthankful person. Maybe you should just keep that and give it to somebody else. But you know what? He took it in stride. It didn't bother him. But you see, listen, his whole heart and his whole mindset was different. But you know what? Norman Merrick was still genuine. And by the way, we still did what we were supposed to do. And then we find out from the fella, we took him to this little hotel, motel type thing. And he goes back to check into his room to leave his little belongings there. And we were going to take him across the street to the Chinese restaurant there. And so anyway, The fella behind the counter said, "Oh, this guy again." I said, "Oh, you know him? Oh, this guy causes problems all the time." So he took us, right? Okay, I'm still going to take you to the Chinese restaurant. And we take him inside and we sit down and there's a buffet, so he'll be able to eat well. And I went over there with him and I said, "Ma'am, go ahead, tell me what I need to pay." And he said, I'll have the buffet and..." I said, "Ma'am, stop after the buffet. I'll pay for that. He can take care of the and, okay? Whatever else he wants, that's on him. I'll pay for the buffet. He can drink water. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants anything extra, we're not paying for it. I'll pay for this," right? But see, here's the thing. That's going to happen in life. Those things are going to happen. But may they not be in our hearts. May we not take advantage. May we realize that God is wanting to work and wanting us to be a witness of His grace and mercy that He wants to perform through us for His honor and glory. And so we find this personal witness, by the way, that's bitter and sweet. Look at verse 41. "Not all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us," Peter says, "who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead." Was that a happy day for Peter? Absolutely, he was excited about that. "And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify, that is, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." He says he's wanting us to be a testimony of the good things of God. And so notice what he says here. "To him," verse 43, "give all the prophets witness of Jesus Christ, that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins." That's a good witness, isn't it? That's exciting. Hey, we ought to be excited. Listen, Peter was just witnessing the salvation of Cornelius. He just saw this. And here's the last thought as we move into this. I want you to see what Peter was looking at. Because they're not part of the church yet. They have received redemption. And Peter was sharing with all of the Jews that were there and everybody that was there, the people that was a part of Cornelius. And by the way, if you go back and read there, Cornelius, when Peter was on his way 4 days later, Cornelius gathered up a gathering of people to hear what Peter was saying. So there's a bunch of people that are there hearing what Peter is saying about, and by the way, Jews that were saved that were there and Gentiles that were there that had gotten saved and some others maybe that hadn't been saved yet. And so notice what happens here in the last few verses here, verse 44. Notice the Holy Spirit given to all believers. "So while Peter yet spake these words," did you see this? So listen, what you have to understand about the book of Acts is it is a transitioning mode. It is a transitioning period. There were things that happened in the book of Acts that don't happen anymore. But it was transitioning. God was moving the gospel from the Jew to the Gentiles and to the whole world. And so as we watch this, notice what took place. Because now when a believer gets saved, they're instantly indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But notice this. "While Peter," verse 44, "yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word." Wow. Wow. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit fell on all them. That is a sealing mark, amen, in the life of a believer. Notice what happens here. Verse 45. "And they of the circumcision," that's the Jews, "which believed," so we know they're believers, "were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out," listen, "the gift of the Holy Ghost." They were witnessing who working? Isn't that amazing? God was working. You mean to tell me they didn't say, "You know what, now we're going to be sanctified. We received the word of God. And now we're gonna change our lives." Amen. They would have met with failure. God changes our lives the same way He gave us eternal life. Listen, if we're working for our eternal life, we don't have it. Because it's a gift. And everything of salvation is a gift. Amen. How much did Jesus pay for it? Did He just pay for part of our salvation, or did He pay for all of it? And the sanctifying work as well. And so, notice again, verse 45, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is news to them too. So is Peter and the Jews, are they learning some things from God? Are they seeing some things that they hadn't seen before? God's still the same. He still works that way. Listen, God has a lot to show us if we'll seek him. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Listen, he saw the work of the Holy Spirit. Now he's ready to add them to the church. Listen, if we're not careful, listen, and I'm not saying you want to hold anybody back, but my goodness, you know, what if we just say, yeah, I've got salvation, but there's no change of life. There's no change of life. Listen, you know, a wolf, they like, in the Bible, they like sheep, don't they? Little sheep, they'll take lambs. And a wolf, believe it or not, as much as it likes sheep, if it feels that its life is in danger, it'll drop that sheep and run. Now, he'll want to come back and pick it up. But listen, just because that sheep had some fear and ran for his life, does that mean his nature was changed? And so sometimes people fear hell, but there's no born-again experience. And if we're not careful, we just want to just push them right into the water. Hey, listen, they ought to want to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. We shouldn't have to be coercing them and talking them into it like pulling teeth. They ought to, yes, that's what I want to do, because I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Because that sheep will come back. The fellow on death row, they're facing the death penalty. Hey, would you like to be released? What do you think they'd say? They're not going to say no. But has that changed them? They're going to go out and commit whatever crime they committed in the first place to go back in there. There needs to be a change that only God can bring into our lives. Amen. And that's where the difference is made. And so notice, he says, verse 47, because he saw this witness, and the Jews were excited about it. Can any man, verse 47, forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Did Peter know and everybody else know? They received the Holy Spirit. They saw the mark of God on them. Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized. Isn't that good? That's a good commandment. In the name of the Lord, then prayed they him, the Gentiles, to tarry certain days. They had some thanksgiving, didn't they? Do you know God wants to give us a thankful heart? Do you know where that thankfulness comes from? Not us. It comes from God. Amen. It comes from God's great grace and mercy to us. That makes us be thankful to him. And God says, I want to give you a heart of thanksgiving if you'll seek me and you'll let me work in you. You'll place yourself in the middle of my potter's wheel and let me push here and push there and prod here and prod there and make a vessel unto my honor and glory. The opportunity really is ours. And the invitation is God's. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace and your goodness to us. Lord, may we not take that for granted. And may we not use as an excuse our salvation to not seek you and to not follow after you and allow you to have your will and way in our lives. May we look for your work in us, Lord, that makes the difference, that will change our lives to glorify you and to empower us, Lord, by your great grace to be the light and the salt of the earth. Bless the invitation. Bless your people. Lord, may we move out of this house even this morning with a thankful heart because of all that you've given to us. And Lord, if there's one that has not the assurance of eternal life, Lord, may you speak to their hearts that they might see that it is a repentance because of sin, of what our guilt is, and it is a complete 100% reliance on the finished work of the cross of Calvary that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.